In Warren, it was, used to be, well, it's where the Warren Star is now. It used to be a big hotel, and Layford's Hotel, and my grandmother worked there when she was, well, I guess, before they were married, she and my grandfather. And they had an old fellow up there, they used to call him the Bear Man. I know what his name was, but I can't ever think of it. And they went, trapped a bear down in Granville Woods, caught it in a trap in the fall. And I guess they probably had a little home brew, and he and Gabe Senor and another man, they put ropes on that bear and brought him into Warren, leading him, a wild bear. Brought him into the hotel in Warren. And the bear, they shot him later and hung him up in the barn. And, well, I don't know, we did have it one time. My mother had pictures of it. It 6 feet something tall, a bear was, weighed 600 and some odd pounds, black bear, yeah. But the, of course, Warren used to be quite a scrappy place, and especially town meeting. When I was a kid, we used to like, you know, they'd always get in an awful fight sometimes, right? Real, I mean, slugfest it was. It wasn't just mouth arguments. They would get in some awful fights over things that, and then 2 minutes later they'd all be friends. It was all settled anyway. Yeah. But it, of course, Warren used to be right in the center of the village there. At one time there was three stores operated all at the same time. There was a John Spalding store and the one over where Roy Long's was, and then through the, just across the bridge was a Will Freeman store. And they all did good business there, of course. And that was the only store that I can remember that one. I used to go down with my grandfather quite often, and that had the old milk chocolate, you know, and they used to slice off. He'd always buy a pound or two of it to take home because everyone liked it. And we was going home after we'd left the store, and I guess I made a mistake or something. I don't know. I would put something in my mouth, and he wanted to know what that was. Well, I says, a piece of chocolate, milk chocolate. He said, where'd you get it? I said, I got it at the store. When you and Mr. Spalding were out back, I took it. It was just a small piece. Hell, it wasn't enough, one mouthful even. So my grandfather said, you didn't pay for it, did you? And I said, no. So he turned around the horse right there in the road and took me back up. I had to go in and tell him I took a chocolate. I never stole anything after that.
What did he say to you?
Nothing. He made me pay for it. My grandfather gave me the money and made me, I think it was something like 2 cents is all it was, because you could buy a whole pound for 25 cents. And he told me, no, he never said a word. Mr. Spalding just said to him, I can see him now, he says, thank you for coming and telling me you took it. I'll get out of there quick.
We had in Waitsfield there, the one big store they had right down in where RSVP is now, and Jones's store. It was a general store, but it was he had everything. He had one little corner in where a little shoe department, or where they had some shoes. He had clothing, sold some clothing, and you know, of course, like they used to have the ribbons and back of the counter and the material and. But it was so different than it is now.
Well, there was a lot of humor, too, that came out of the general store.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, there was. It was. No, it was. Go ahead.
I was told a story of, in Ripton, a guy stole some butter and put it under his hat, and the storekeeper saw him, and so lured him over by the stove and engaged mm-hmm. him in long conversation, and pretty soon the butter came down.
Oh no, there was it was. I don't know. It was just a different atmosphere then. Of course, we had to go to Warren. Had to go to Waitsfield to high school because we didn't have either there or Montpelier. They could go to whichever they wanted. But we went down, and of course, I played sports and played baseball. And this same Mr. Jones that she's talking about, when it come baseball season, we never had to buy any baseball bats or anything like that. We'd go to Mr. Jones and he said, here's so many balls, and he says, so many bats. And then there was Carl Long up, he had another store up there by the, where the old, well, the store is empty now, or they're selling out. And they furnished the baseballs and the bats for the kids at school. We never, the high school never had to buy a thing. I mean, it was, I don't know, it just seemed, it was a much different atmosphere, that's all that I can say. It's now everybody is, as my grandfather used to say, money is the ruination of a man's life, and I think of that good many a times. Yeah. Because when we were married, we lived in Waitsfield Village. Back at the Masonic Hall, it used to be a big, well, what they call the old hotel. And I worked up on where the Von Trapp farm is now for Clarence Tucker. And I had to walk every morning, didn't have any car or anything. I walked up there every morning, and another man and I worked for him from Waitsfield, and we rented a 5-room apartment in from the Downers.
And it was furnished.
Yeah, furnished apartment. $5 a month, furnished.
Now, is Clarence Tucker Bertha Tucker's husband?
No. He was a cousin. Jerry Tucker that has the
stand.
His dad, yeah. And but $5 a month I paid for a furnished apartment. Everything, it was, that was it. We had everything we needed. But I only got $6.50 a week. And I worked from 4 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. And I have one Sunday a month off. And so they don't realize, of course, I still think money went further then than it does now. Because we could go down to the store, to Jones' store, and buy $5 worth of groceries, and I couldn't lug it home. I'd have to go twice to get it home. You see, butter was 10 cents, probably a pound or so. Eggs were 8-9 cents a dozen, a loaf of bread. Was 10 cents, donuts 12 cents a dozen. No, sure. And hamburgers 3 pounds for a quarter. Sure. But like I say, a dollar, of course, then was a dollar. There was no inflation or much about. Now, what's it, 27 cents for a dollar or something like that? I think it is. Is it down to that now?
Well, when you lived up on the farm in Warren,
mm-hmm.
You probably only, which store would you come to? You probably would only come.
Very seldom went to the store.
And
my grandfather would go every fall to Barry, to a wholesale house. We'd take the team of horses, and he used to raise 8 or 10 pigs. And when he got about 200 pounds, then he'd butcher them all, and he took them out to the Capital Market in Montpelier, bought them every year. Had a standing order, and it twice a year if he wanted to. And then he'd go up to Barry, to this friend we knew, and buy all the wholesale stuff. We could buy 3 or 4 barrels of flour, a couple big 100-pound tubs of lard, the old big wooden tubs of lard then, and the sugar. I don't know how much, but he always barrel or so of sugar, probably. Big tub of codfish, salt cod and salt salmon. And they never had to, it was very unusual he ever went to a store. If they ever went to one, they always went to Warren because it was nearer, and always went to the, usually to John Spalding's store. But then later years, they traded quite a lot with Walter Jones, as Mr. Jones in Waitsfield. A lot of the farmers, I've seen my, but of course we raised all of our stuff on the farm. We raised wheat and took it down to where Miramar Ski Club is now. I can remember even in my time, I've taken down, I don't know how many bags of wheat we took down there, and they ground it into flour, and that's what the folks, they made, my mother and grandmother made all the bread, donuts. We never bought any of that stuff. Had our own beef, our own chickens, own pork, own syrup. We used to keep great big tubs of, made two or three great big crocks full of sauerkraut every year, my grandfather. And smoked their own hams, of course. Of course, all of them did then. All the farmers had the same thing. And her folks would put them in the old barrel with a broomstick across, and the smoke would come up with the corn cobs. And
now, I bet many others didn't make sauerkraut.
Is what?
I bet many others didn't make sauerkraut.
Oh, no. No, there weren't too many made sauerkraut, but my grandfather always had at least 110 gallons of sauerkraut.
Probably was from the German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, from what I'm hearing with the names, that this valley was a lot of Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Were here.
Yes, they were.
Moriarty, Gallagher.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, there's a bite of Irish in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Scotch and Irish. Yes, got to guess at one time that's all there was, mostly. Yeah. But, of course, on my mother's side, I never did. I don't know how far back that does go. Ed must know, because I think he's got a genealogy of it. But of course, they were born. My mother was born way up on West Hill where the golf course is, the back end of the golf course now. And that's where she was born. And they had a big farm. Her folks had a big farm up there. And my grandfather Richardson and Sumners had places before that in Warren, so I never did know how far back it ever did go in the town of Warren. Yeah, but of course they were, well, I guess Scotch, Grampy Richardson, I guess, was Scotch and part Irish and part Indian. He had some Indian in him. Yeah. But it was,
Now you had a lot of music in your family too.
Oh yeah, we had. Yeah, we all sang, every one of us. My father, grandfather, were telling her just the other day, I had a great uncle, his uncle Fred. He had, one of the most beautiful tenor voices I ever heard in my life. You never got him to sing too much, but they used to set that night every once in a while, and Grampy and Uncle Fred would start up some German song, of course. We knew the tune, but that was all. And I've always felt bad that we didn't learn the language, because Grampy wanted to, and my brother Ed, he went to Burlington, the University of Vermont, and took German for 1 year. And he came home and tried to talk to my grandfather, and he couldn't, one word out of probably 50 that he could understand what he was saying, because it's the same as the French language, I suppose. They say you can take French and go to France and you can get through, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, you really got to grow up with it.
Oh, talking. Yeah. Hey, we had an old piano, and of course my aunt from New York, she was a nurse up at a hospital in New York, and she used to come once a year.
Now that was Dora?
Dora.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and she would play the...
I think your brother Ed told me that Art Hartson would try and come when she was there, because he was musical too.
Yeah, he would always. I lived out Montpelier, up on Clay Hill there, way up the end of Clay Hill there. Yeah.
Well, now, he was married to Earl Fuller's adopted sister, Belle.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah, way back, yeah. Well, this old, it's too bad they can't get him, but he's still living too, is Earl Fuller's...
Floyd, yes.
Floyd Fuller, yeah, yes. That's the one I was trying to think, yeah. And then we just lost one old one here. He was the oldest alumni of Wakefield High School, Philip Neal. Yeah, he was, he just died. He was 90-something years old. He went every year to this Brookfield ice cutting, you know.
Oh, right,
the
hell, yeah.
Yeah, that was the fellow.
He was always at the alumni banquet.
Always at the alumni bank, graduating from Wichita High School, one of the first classes they had.
Now, did you used to cut ice on the river here?
Oh, God, I guess that's what they, back right across from Miramar, There used to be what they called a cove, Herb Smith's Cove. And oh, it was probably 10 acres in there. It was all flooded, the whole thing. And that's where they cut all of the ice for the farm, most of it, that they could get around here. But they'd cut anywhere in the river they wanted. They didn't have to get permission from the state or anything, then, of course. And oh, sure, yes, God, yes, they
did. And the ice house with the all packed basadas packed all over them. Yeah.
Every farmer, of course, had to have it because it was the only way he could cool his milk in the summertime. But well, when I was in high school, I used to work for this man down at Waitsfield, Milford Long, that owned where the village grocery is now. I used to stay with him some, and we used to draw ice for the all of town of Warren, almost all of it. And they used to cut it on the where the swimming hole is down below Middlesex, before you get to Middlesex now. Well, that whole thing from where the swimming hole was, clear down to where the dam is now, was they'd cut, I would all cut off sometimes three times during the winter for ice. It'll be cakes that high. And we drew it up to look all the farmers in East Warren, and then they had Burks's Mill Dam in Warren there right in the middle. They cut on that always. And any place they could get, they'd cut their ice. And that's what I think it's, I think it was a lot healthier then than it is now. But like I told somebody the other day, I said, everything you get now, they inject any piece of meat you buy or anything else, is all injected and everything. And
was the river much higher in those days?
No, it was maybe on the whole,
I think it was.
During the summer.
Here,
it would stay higher. Up more than it is now, yes. But then again, you don't know, because you see, that's one thing, because I have an awful lot of the environmental people around here, is the farmers, the towns, I mean, even the town, they'd go into the river, and that's the only place they got their gravel for fixing roads. And of course, then it was all gravel roads. And they claim you can't take it out now because it kills the fish. Well, fishing was so much better then, when that's what I've tried telling about this water up here by Kingsbury's they're having so much trouble about. That was one of the best fishing stretches of brook, which I know because I do a lot of fishing, did. And that was one of the best ones it was. Well, the last few years you can't catch a fish up through there because it's filled up so with gravel. When they used to take it out every year down through there and dig it right down, why, there was fish all over that place.
Oh, so they actually would dig gravel?
Sure, go right into the horses, and of course it was all shoveled by hand then. They didn't have any loaders, see, and men put boots on, stand right. Oh yes, when I was a kid in high, well, grade school, Ed and I shoveled gravel for the town of Warren 50 cents a day all day long for horses, and teams go right out and load the wagons up and draw it out, oh, day after day after day right out of the river. It was kept right down, you know. And now, of course, well, anywhere you look in the river, it's all built up. The gravel's
oh,
all.
God. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does. And like I say, then they had more fish now then than they ever have now. Because there's no, the fishing actually in the, it is gone in the valley. I mean, that's one thing. At the ski area, didn't help any, I don't think. But
because it drew so much water off,
yeah,
the river?
That's right, yeah. Now you take that clay brook, it comes down from Sugar Bush there. I wouldn't eat a fish out of it. I know it's supposed to be all healthy, but I wouldn't I wouldn't eat a fish out of it, because you can go down through that brook, which I have before, just to look it over, is most anything you want to see in the brook. Toilet paper and everything. Oh yeah, the whole brook right down through the whole thing is. It's they have done a lot in the last few years with it, I'll say that, yes. But as far as this dam up here, I say they might just as well go ahead, because if they don't, they're going to be in trouble, the whole valley. But I'm afraid Sugar Bush will close down just as they say they will.
It sounded like they would.
Oh, yes. Well, that's the only thing that kept them going this year was what snow they did have, you see. If they
Well, Mad River is really hurting,
Mad River,
I guess.
Didn't have, yeah. That's, yeah. So So it has helped, yes. It has helped in a...
We just aren't getting the snow like we used to. It's changing some, I don't know.
Oh, I guess it has. The last good snowstorm we had was 1972, I think it was. We got 40-some inches.
I remember,
one time. Yeah. I was working for Mad River then. I worked 80-some hours steady and never stopped. Plowing and working on the lift, yeah.
Remember going to school back when we were kids, and in the wintertime we had it looked like a covered wagon on runners, a sled. And we, like kids are, we'd all come to a place that was drifted up in high snow. We'd all get on one side, so it would all tip over into the snow. We'd be late for school.
Yeah. Well, there have been real changes.
Oh, though. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huge changes.
Yeah, there have been. As I said, the things that I've told my kids through the years, it was better than reading a book to them, because they, you know, there's everything I told them sounded like so much fun that we used to have. Although our girls, our older ones, they had more of the life. They lived up on the farm, two of them, and they got sort of the same kind of a life that I had when they were little.
So did you farm then for?
I never farmed. Well, yes, I was on the farm with her father for a few years to help him out, because he couldn't get any hired help or anything. But even when I was working there, I was still working on another job all the time. But I used to help him with hay and, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and in milk in the morning and night and things like that to relieve him some, because he was getting up older and he'd had to give up his sugar place. He didn't use that anymore. I guess I helped him sugar twice, I think. I don't know, it's been so long ago, I can't remember. Yes, because we went across the brook and put the road over in there. Yeah, it was, but I guess for a while you couldn't find anybody to work on the farm, you see. That was trouble.
Now, was that after the ski areas came in, or before that?
Well, just about the time they were coming in, just about. Like her father used to have, when he'd get these fresh, or not fresh air, what do they call them? Well, the boys and girls both used to come up here and work on the farms, you know, out of New York City in the summertime.
Boston, down that way.
I forget what it was they called it. It wasn't fresh air kids at that time, they called them. And her father had one, a very nice boy from Boston, that worked for him, what, two or three years?
Yeah. Yeah, for years after, even after when he grew up, he would come back to visit. Yeah. We had a lot of time. It reminded me of the time we had with the diphtheria, which was kind of a terrible thing. We were up at the farm, and come to find out, as we traced it down later, this young fellow that we're just speaking about, my sister, we couldn't even write letters or anything, send mail. She wrote to him, and to find out, because he was the only one that we know that had been there. Well, he had apparently had what seemed like a cold when he was there. It turned out that
he was a carrier of diphtheria.
Oh,
he
had diphtheria, and had been several cases in his school where he was. Mm-hmm. But our son, Kevin, got it, and he was about less than 2 years old, about a year and a half. And he got an ankle that hadn't been a case in years and years. And the doctor from Waterbury, never a doctor here, Dr. Orton, came over from Waterbury, and he came every day. And finally got so bad that he took me in his car, the doctor did, to Burlington. We took Kevin up there to Burlington. And we nearly lost him.
Mm.
And then about 2 days, and I had had my shots when I was a kid. But I got it again. I got it.
Oh my God!
And I was sick at home, and we were quarantined, where the men couldn't touch the milking things. They couldn't milk or anything, and we couldn't. They couldn't go to the village to go to the store. The neighbors had to do things for us. It was.
How long did that go on for?
Oh, that was
3 weeks we was going
just about,
to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. Neighbors had to come in and do all the milking and, well, everything. I mean, we weren't supposed to. Sometimes we help slip down and help, but they couldn't do the wash the farm, the utensils or anything. They had to all be able to, farmers and neighbors all come in and did it.
Ed, he helped and yeah. would come and get the things and take them right home and do them there.
Gosh.
Yeah, that was quite a...
Well, Everett Palmer was telling me about the infantile paralysis, too. I guess he had a brother that died of it, and a couple
of them
got
Yes, he did, yeah.
And he remembers his mother saying to his father, "Do you think it's going to take them all?"
Oh, yeah. Well, that was really a hard time, because I had... three girls besides Kevin, who was sick, and then I was sick, and my mother taking care of me and taking care of, you know, looking out for the girls, it was a hard time.
Oh yeah, and were you able to, with the quarantine, nobody else got it?
No, she's the only one
I
got it.
And it was strange because I had my vaccination.
Amazing.
Yeah. There wasn't another case in town. And of course, she said that the Dr. Orton we had at that time, he was the doctor we had, and he hadn't seen but one case before in his life.
And he kept coming. He came every day because Kevin was so sick, but he was treating him for tonsillitis.
Uh-huh.
Because it resembled it, and he had no idea that it was diphtheria.
Well, you wouldn't ever think.
Until it finally got so he just, you know, he couldn't breathe.
Ah.
And in fact, as I maybe just mentioned, he took me in his car. That was scary. I holding Kevin in the back seat of the doctor's car and going to Burlington, and it was pretty scary. He said he was scared afterwards because he didn't know whether he would even
make it.
Yeah, make it.
Ugh. Yeah, that's no joke.
We had a lot of things happen up there on that farm. My father, years ago, when I was just about a year and a half or two, about a year and a half, fell off the backside of the big barn and broke both of his legs.
Oh, my Lord.
60-some feet from eaves down.
And he was laid up. He was in the hospital only, I think it was 9 days at that time.
Well, gosh.
And then they brought him home. It was in the summer, and they fixed a bed on the front porch. And he stayed there all summer long, where he had watched the men. The neighbors came and helped with the work that had to be done. And,
well, they must have had to take him by horse and wagon, I would think.
No, they took him in a car.
They did?
Yeah, I think the doctor took him.
The doctor took him,
yeah.
Dr. Shaw, and old Dr. Kent.
Dr. Kent.
Yeah.
But that was a hard time too. A lot of things happened.
Did you do any logging?
Oh yes. I worked for, well, when we was on the farm, of course, the farmers used to get out logs every winter to help pay the taxes. That's what they always, and of course we had a big wood lot. We could, we had a big sugar place. In fact, we never tapped all of our sugar plays. We tapped around 2,000. We could have tapped probably twice that many, because Merrill Long used to tap part of it because it was way down over from where our sugar house was, and we didn't need them, and Merrill used them, every year. And then I went to work. I worked for 6-7 years, I guess, for Claude Bonnet, for the Ward Lumber Company, cutting big basins back in here. Yeah, I'm a outdoorsman. That's what I am. That bothers me now. I can't get out in the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. Otis Wallace said he used to hear the teams going up, and every team had a different bell.
Yeah, that's right. God, just you see, they used to. Ward Lumber Company. I remember my father used to work in the winter for them lots of times. Well, a guy Livingston uncle used to have a team. I don't know what guy his father had a team. And they used to haul out of Faston underneath burnt rock, and they'd cut the logs, see, they'd pile them up, and then they'd draw them out in the winter on with sleds and horses, clear from there to Moortown to the mill. And a lot of the farmers used to work for doing that in the winter for the farmers. You know, they'd everything to get money. It was a little bit of, but it was, because Grampy used to say, he said, well, nobody's going to bed hungry anyway. And we never did, I don't think. Because my grandmother was a great cook. She was a great cook.
Yeah, I should ask about, food has changed too.
Oh.
The kind of meals and so forth that mm-hmm. you had. And she was cooking for,
I know.
A dinner party every
yes,
night.
That's right.
Yeah.
What would you, when would you have breakfast?
About 6 o'clock, between 6 and 7, most all the time, because you see, we kids had to get to school anyway, but I mean, even in the summertime, we was always done milking and everything in the morning about 6 o'clock. And I always had breakfast. I tell her that's when they had good breakfast.
Well, now tell me what you'd have for breakfast.
Well, we always had warmed up home fried potatoes, I call them, always. And then some of us had cereal if we wanted it. And you always had, most every morning, you had toast. Of course, it wasn't toasted on toaster, it was toasted on the stove, on the old, or they'd make rolls.